Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Free Company.
For what avail the plow or sail, or land or light, if freedom fails?
This is W.B. Lewis, chairman of the radio division of the Free Company, which today presents a new play by James Boyd, author of Drums, Marching On, and Long Hunt. The Free Company is a society of writers, actors, and radio workers organized to prepare and to broadcast a series of radio plays dealing with American democracy. Plays by William Saroyan, Mark Connolly, and Robert E. Sherwood have already been presented. Plays to come will be written by playwrights, novelists, and poets of equal distinction, many of them Pulitzer Prize winners. Some of these plays will be concerned with one or more of the eight basic freedoms assured to every citizen in the Bill of Rights. Others, like today's drama, will cover the more general theme of freedom as it develops from those basic vital rights. All are intended to explain and to illustrate the meaning of freedom, to supply, in terms of our lives today, answers to problems such as those faced by Abraham Lincoln when he said,
"We all declare for liberty, but in using the same word, we do not all mean the same thing. With some, the word liberty may mean for each man to do as he pleases with himself and the product of his labor. While with others, the same word may mean for some men to do as they please with other men and the product of other men's labor. The shepherd drives the wolf from the sheep's throat, for which the sheep thanks the shepherd as his liberator, while the wolf denounces him for the same act as the destroyer of liberty. Plainly, the sheep and the wolf are not agreed upon a definition of the word liberty."
The Free Company presents Alan Dinehart, Betty Field, Elijah Kazan, Sidney Lumet, Margot, Marlon McCormick, and Dorothy McGuire in One More Free Man by James Boyd. The time, shortly after Christmas in the year 1890. The place, a cow camp in the Rocky Mountains. A young mother is alone with her baby in the camp's log-built shelter. She came to the camp to spend Christmas with her husband, a mining engineer. They are snowed in, and her baby came at the blizzard's peak. But today, the road has been opened and a team has come up with supplies and a proper crib for the baby.
A mighty river, your eyes are shut, your fists are curled, and now you frown. What are you doing in your dreams? I know nothing about baby's dreams, but I know about mother's dreams. Since I first felt you stir, I dreamed about you. And when you came, I was so glad that the pain seemed only pain I dreamed. And still, the dream of you goes on. Already I see that first warm day of spring, when the snow melts up into the sky and you and I drive down to town. Do you know on that first Sunday what we'll do? I can see it in my dreams. I can hear the organ.
Baptized according to our word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Therefore, I baptize thee, John, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Was that you that cried? You're sleeping. You were crying only in my dream. The water was cold on your head. But never mind, for now you have a name. Your name is John. No one will ever know any secret name for you, my manger baby. And when you go to school, you will be John. John Cross. In school.
John Cross?
Yes, ma'am?
Who broke the window during recess?
I couldn't say.
You mean, you don't know?
No, ma'am, I don't mean that.
Well, did you?
I couldn't say.
I suppose you don't know that either.
No, ma'am, but if everybody that didn't do it says so, then you'll find out who did.
I have a right to find out.
Not that way.
Are you talking back to me?
Yes, ma'am.
That you'll stay in for 2 hours.
Holy mackerel, teacher. What about the ball game?
He'll miss the ball game.
Oh, shucks, then I done it. I broke it.
Then you'll stay in for 2 hours.
Okay, teacher. John, you're clear.
Not at all. John will stay in for 2 hours, too, for talking back.
That's not fair.
2 hours tomorrow, the next day, too.
You're not fair.
2 hours more. Come now, John, this is foolish. If you'll apologize, I'll let you go to the ball game.
I said what I thought.
But that can sometimes be impudent. Come, say you're sorry, and you can go to the ball game.
I said what I thought was right.
Oh, go on, Johnny. Say it and get off. It don't mean nothing.
No.
All right, then. 2 hours today, tomorrow, and the day after.
That's how you'll be in school, perhaps. It will make life harder for you, my manger baby. But I wouldn't want it otherwise. There are plenty of boys otherwise. And are they happier? Some, perhaps. Am I not a natural mother? Mothers are supposed to wish their children safe and happy. But a boy like you, John, will not grow into a safe man, or even a happy one, unless you have good luck. A girl that you can always love, the only luck that lasts. What will she be like? Will I hate or envy her? Or will I be there to do either? It'll make no difference. They'll not think of me, only of each other, of themselves, as your father and I did just a year ago. Will the wedding be in a church like ours? Yes. Yes, in a church, I think.
What is it, John? What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing but this. Do you really love me?
Darling, what a silly question.
If you're not sure, you could still say so.
I wouldn't think of such a thing. Oh, John, I think we're going to have a wonderful life. You're going to succeed. By next year, you'll be superintendent, and we can take the house we looked at.
You can say no still. Right now, I'd understand.
John, you're crazy. Maybe you don't love me.
I do love you. So much that I want everything to be good between us. I'd rather give it up than have it spoiled.
Oh, silly. I'm lucky. All the girls envy me.
But inside, are you sure?
Of course I am.
Oh, my son. My son. Will she be big enough for you? And if not that faithful enough, at least? And if she's not, then who will be? The men you work with? You will be an engineer, I think. Like your father and like mine. But builders have no place for manger babies. I see bad times for you. Bad times in the hard, roaring world of engineers.
Yes, what do you want?
I'm John Cross, the super down at Blackrock. The GM sent for me.
The general manager's expecting you. Go on in.
Cross, what's this I hear?
What do you hear?
That you've been talking to the men.
What do they say?
Never mind.
Say?
Never mind what they say or what you said. I'm your friend. Now, you've done a good job at Blackrock. Production's up. All I want is just a denial that you've been talking to the men. I've written it out. Sign here. I want to show it to the directors. It'll clear you. Don't read it. Just sign it. And whatever happens, let this be a lesson to you. Never talk to the men.
What do they say that I said?
They say you attended a meeting, that you told them that you would not lay a man off who tried to organize the mine as long as he got out the ore. I don't know whether that's true. I don't want to. I'm your friend, but I'm a busy man. Come on now, sign here. I'll take care of it.
That is what I told them.
You know the company's policy. The minute we hear of a man organizing, we let him out and send his name to the association.
Yes, I told them that. I told them, too, that they had the right to organize. I can't sign any denial.
Cross, everybody makes mistakes, especially when he's green. Now, when you make one, the thing to do is to clear it up and then forget it. In this case, I'm making it easy for you.
Why easy for me?
Why? Well, I don't know. I guess it's because I see something in you. I see boys coming into the mines by hundreds. I size them up. I'm never wrong. You've got a future in this business, Cross. That's all I have to say, and it's much more than I've ever said to any other man. Now, sign here.
It's not what I believe.
Never mind that, boy. Sign.
These men have a right to better their conditions. Their houses are not fit to live in. There's too much break-off in the company store, too much dust in the working places. We're short on mine props and on ventilators. We're killing men. Slowly now, but someday we'll have a big disaster.
My boy, has it ever occurred to you that if a man's not satisfied, he can leave?
Leave? With his family in a company house, with himself in debt to the company store? How leave?
He didn't have to rent the house or run up a store bill, did he?
Where else could he live? How else can he eat when times are slow?
Well, that's his business. He can work it out to suit himself. This is a free country.
Then he's free to organize.
Cross, I've no time to argue. You've got a wife. Jobs are scarce. You'll be on every blacklist in the country.
Chief, we're killing men that might be saved. I've seen their bodies carried out. I know them, living and dead. And I'm for them.
So, I've been trying to protect a radical. Smith, write a letter giving Cross notice and phone the head watchman at Black Rock not to let him on the property.
Yes, sir.
Young man, this is not my business, but I'd hate to be your wife. A real man takes care of the woman he marries. I always understood.
A real man does what he has to do. You're doing what you must, and I am too. Well, I guess there's no more to say. Goodbye, and no hard feelings.
Don't hold out your hand to me. I shake hands with no radical.
Well, just goodbye then.
But now, my son. Now, what will become of you? Your name is on the list. All doors are shut. And everywhere you go, you bear the brand of troublemaker. The name they give to those who speak the truth. And what will that pretty wife of yours now have to say? I think I know what you will say in your cheap rooming house.
Well, did you find anything?
No, they'd heard about me.
What are we to do? Look at my dress. Look at my hands.
Oh, Mary, I see them. All the time. Wherever I go, whenever they turn me down.
Why didn't you think of them at Black Rock, then?
Mary.
You could have signed the letter. They would be there and going up, not down.
But the men were right. I explained that.
What's right? What's wrong? And are they better off? Look at us. And all because you can't learn to keep quiet.
Keep quiet is not something a man learns. Something he forgets. He forgets how he was as a kid. Kids don't keep quiet. They say what they think. Then something happens to them and they forget.
Is that philosophy? Well, I can't live on it. I'm going home.
Oh. I guess that's best. This is no place for you. Then, when I get a job, I'll come for you. Is that your bag?
Yes, and it's packed. I got supper for you.
Packed?
Don't look at me like that. I got your supper, didn't I?
But, Mary, you could wait a day or two. Something might turn up.
Oh, we've said that 50 times. I must hurry if I'm going to catch my train. Come on.
Yes. Yes, I'll take you to the train. Oh, Mary.
No, let me go, John. I must hurry. Go get my bag. Come on.
Yes, you mustn't miss the train.
She'll come back to you, or even wait. A girl with her bright beauty fading, with not much time to lose. And all the brisk young men around, so confident and careful. No, my son, someday you'll learn the truth. And then for you the name of loneliness will have a meaning all its own. And you will be a wanderer in the dark places of the earth. But work, work you must. And work perhaps you will among the workers. The workers you work to save.
The meeting will come to order. This meeting of Local 1634 is called for the election of officers and delegates to the National Convention. Nominations are now in order.
I renominate our president, Tony Seeger.
I second the nomination.
I move the nomination to be closed.
Well, brothers, it looks like I was in again. I'm much obliged.
Well, the chairman.
The chair recognizes Mr. Cross.
This election is not in order. There was no time for other nominations.
All right, bright boy. Is there any other nominations? You see, bright boy, now sit down.
I want to speak on the nomination.
Let him speak. Okay, bright boy, go right ahead.
Ever since I joined this union, I've seen how it's run. It's run by Siegel. All of my spare time, I looked around to see how Siegel runs it. Here's what I found. Last spring, we struck in violation of our agreement. We lost 28 days' pay and the goodwill of the town.
Who cares for goodwill?
Ain't the employers chipped us plenty? We lost our wages, but Siegel didn't lose. Ever since then, he's been taking down $100 a month from the employer to keep us working.
That's a lie.
I have proof. Where is it?
Not here, Siegel. Not where it can be snatched out of my hands by your gang.
But I'll produce it when I'm ready. And I'll produce another piece of paper. Seagull's real name's not Siegel. What is it? But I know what it is. And what he did. Seagull's no working man. The only job he ever did, he got 6 years for. Living off girls. Seagull, am I right? Now here's my office, Seagull. Resign and take your mob out of the hall and let us have a free election. Seagull, resign or I'll turn you in.
So you came in here, we had a nice little local, everything quiet and regular. But since, at every meeting, you got a new squawk. Don't we mean to stick by our agreement? Why won't we show a financial settlement? Is it right to restrict production?
That's what I asked, and I never got an answer.
I never will while I'm here.
That's why I want you out. This is no labor union. It's just a gang that lives off the employers and off the union members. There's you. You and your mob. Not one of you are workers. The rest of the crowd here, the workers, are all right, but they're scared to move. They've got their bread to think of. They've got their wives and kids. You used to live off girls. Well, where are the girls you live off now?
Brothers, I guess you can see his racket. He wants to frame me and get the job.
I'm not a candidate.
What are you then, bright boy?
I'm just a guy. Says what he believes.
And what do you believe? We've heard you talk a lot, but never found out yet.
I believe that people have got to take care of themselves.
Well, ain't we doing it?
Yes, you are, but not us. Listen, boy. To take care of himself, the worker's got three things. He's got his fists, or scabs, and face.
Listen to him, brothers. He'll be punching himself in the jaw, maybe.
He's got his skill. He's got his skill that the world can't do without. And he's got the backing of public opinion. Those are his weapons, and he needs them all.
Well, now that we heard your little Sunday school lesson, sit down.
I'll not sit down. Listen, you American workmen. We're American workmen no matter where we started from. Where does this local stand today? Have we any respect like good unions? Any public support to back us in a fight? Does this town trust us to stick by our agreements? Do they feel about us the way Junction City feels about their local there? We've thrown away our weapons. Now look, men. Why Why does the name of the American workman stand high all around the world? Because he's the man that turns out the stuff. That's his ace in the hole, his blue chip. He can turn out the stuff. So I say, let's clean up, start right. If the employers treat us fair, be tough but square, and turn out the stuff. If they're in trouble through no fault of their own, help them keep going if we can, and turn out the stuff. Then if they jip us, strike, with the town behind us, and they'll know they're losing men that can turn out the stuff.
And true. It's what my father used to say. Now they listen. Now they're cheering, but will they act? Time is the enemy of all things good. The enemy until it has destroyed them. Then when it's too late, it turns and preserves the ruins. Preserves them through generations. Generations in the minds of men. But I must watch my dream until it ends. And it will end, perhaps, where water flows like faith and time, and great ships sleep in darkness, by the darkness.
Who's that?
It's me, John. Benny.
What are you doing here?
You oughtn't to go alone at night. Not by the docks. We appointed some of the boys to watch you. We tipped off the cops to watch out, too.
What do you mean, appointed?
We had a meeting, all the right guys. We're going to throw Siegel out and put you in. We don't want nothing to happen to you, see?
Pick somebody else. There's plenty.
We've done our picking. Now listen, keep out of these dark places, will you? Why make it tough for us to cover you?
All right, maybe you're right.
One thing more. We've been a bunch of heels, see, with this Siegel. We ain't proud of it, you understand, but most of us got kids, see? I guess you don't know what that means.
No. I've got no wife, no kids. But I know what it means.
But get this right. From now on, we back you. Boys are all right, you understand? Only sometimes it takes somebody to give them a right steer. Now, let's get out of this. Listen, what's that?
Somebody in a big hurry.
Look out, it might be Siegel. Look out.
Yeah.
John! Did I get you? John! John, can you talk? I can't get to you. They got me, too. Can you hear me, John? Hang on, fella. Up the ambulance. Over here, Doc. Now, hurry.
Who else got it?
Just him and me. Look at him. Who's this boy?
I'm the driver. I'll fix you up till the doc gets around to you.
You got here quick for once.
Here, roll over in this blanket. There you are. Yeah, we heard the shooting. Knew just where we'd find you, buddy.
Too bad you didn't know sooner. Some of you cops could have got Siegel then.
They got him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they blocked him off coming out of third, and they cut him down just before we came by. Him and three with him. Didn't you hear it?
That's Siegel and Jack and Red and one arm. Doc, have you looked him over?
Yeah.
Well, for Pete's sake, Doc, I mean, he's a friend of mine.
He'll never walk again. The spinal cord.
You mean he'll be no good for nothing?
I mean, it's his legs. Only his legs. The other end's all right.
Okay, then, Doc, okay. That's the end we need.
Thank you.
not happen. It mustn't. Yet if it should, if here and now, between this manger and the magic northern lights, by wishing I could make my dream come true, or not come true, what would I say? I am a daughter of the pioneers, strong men, brave women, free, daring men, who worked, took chances, and winning, losing, made this land. What would I say? I'd say then, let the dream come true. Out of my nameless body, let there come a man who speaks the truth he knows. One more free man to make his country great. Are you hungry, my baby? Come. Come then now, come. It's time for you to eat. Out of my body you have come. Out of my body you grow strong. Be happy now. And eat. And sleep. And dream. And then, whatever lies ahead, go on.
What is the meaning of Mr. Boyd's play for us? How does it touch our own lives? Here's how. We are citizens of one of the few remaining countries on the face of the globe in which the John Crosses of this world may still escape the concentration camp and the quicklime grave. John Cross had a compulsion to speak the truth and to act the truth. There are many such men, and there have been many such men in our past. William Penn and Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, Sam Houston, Lincoln, all were men like John Cross. The meaning of our freedom is this, that here in our land, men like John Cross shall win in the end. John Cross may suffer because American democracy, being human, is not perfect. There is always a gap between what our people believe and what they do. Men like John Cross break their bodies and their hearts trying to close that gap. Then others follow, and so another gain in man's long struggle to be free is made secure. We should be proud that we have a land where men and women still are free to lead, and others are free to follow. A land where men and women stand for what is decent and just, where all our citizens have the right, by law and by our great tradition, to make their fight for a better world. Let us again, in this present time of crisis, renew our timeless and high resolve that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. In today's Free Company presentation, you've heard Margot as the mother, Dorothy McGuire as the teacher, Sidney Lumet as John Cross, the schoolboy, Marlon McCormick as the elder John, Betty Field as Mary, Alan Dinehart as the general manager, and Elia Kazan as Seagull. The stars and author of today's play contributed their services without payment, as did Bernard Herrmann, who composed and conducted the music, and Norman Corwin, who directed the production. All those who enjoyed James Boyd's play will be glad to know that a complete copy of the broadcast has been printed for listeners. For 10 cents, the cost of printing and mailing, you may receive your copy. Write to The Free Company, in care of the Columbia Broadcasting System in New York. Copies of subsequent Free Company plays will be made available each week as the series goes on. Next week, the Free Company will present Freedom's a Hard-Bought Thing by Stephen Vincent Benet, adapted by David Eskind. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.